Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We always take just a moment. If you are in the listening area, we would love for you to come by and visit with us. If you're looking for a church home or visiting in the high country, we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. Our address is 1128 Baird's Creek Road, and that is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We are just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits. Our Sunday school starts every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and then our Sunday morning worship service starts at 11. And so it's good to be here today. Good to see Noah. Maybe we'll get a break in the weather. I'll tell you, talking to Noah, I feel like Noah's Ark with all the rain we've had. And I don't guess it's that bad, but
not yet.
Good to be here today.
Could be getting there.
Yeah.
I'm starting to worry a little bit.
I know.
It's supposed to die down this evening.
I hope.
But we are glad to be here this morning. Do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in, and those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I have a special announcement. Next week, we're going to have a special guest, Lord willing, Brother Kyle Austin. He is a missionary out of our church. He's over the Collegians for Christ ministry locally right here at the Appalachian State University. And so we're wrapping up all this. I had in my mind, now it's months ago, you know, that this little study on education wouldn't last this long. And I thought, you know, I'd spend a few weeks and we'd get some historical examples from different college universities and their founding and something about their founders. And it just grew, and it grew into 23 weeks now. This is going to be my last full radio broadcast concerning the subject of education. I've got something in mind to move on to, and I think it'll be very, very interesting. I've already been doing some pre-studying, but I'm not going to mention it yet, but I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be looking at in the future. But Brother Kyle is going to be with us, Lord willing, next Tuesday, and we're looking forward to that. And so we're going to finish up today just some things about our local university, historically speaking. And what I'm talking about Appalachian State University. And really, when I started this study, I started reading a book about Appalachian State. And the book, and I'm using a lot of the information out of this book and a few other sources that I've come across, but this book is called Mountain Educators, The Daugherty Family, and the First 50 Years of Appalachian. And Miss Doris Perry Stamm is the author of that book. And so it's called Mountain Educators. And Appalachian State has a very interesting history. We're going to look at some of those things today. Now, that's our local university right here in Boone, North Carolina. I know we have listeners, Tennessee, Virginia, South Dakota, all over, but I believe you'll find it interesting as well. I have noticed this in studying history. In our American history, we have a lot of things in common. We have a common heritage. For one thing, being in the same country, we have common heritage. The churches, I've been in churches all over the South, all out West, up North just a little bit. A lot of the churches have a lot of similarities in them. They have the reason being, they have a common heritage. There is the influence of the Great Awakening, the Separate Baptist Revival, and this influence is still felt today. The colleges have a common heritage. The communities, family values, morality, patriotism, things like that. We have a common heritage. And what I found in is that what you find in one community, you will find a lot of the same things in another community. And I've noticed that in our local church history, and then it spreads out North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, and on from there. But all of that coming from the early influence of Christianity and the Bible in our country. Sometimes it is referred to as our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Bible said this in Psalm 16 in verse number 6. David said, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And so he was thankful for the heritage that he had. And so I'm going to talk a little bit today about our local heritage. And I hope that many of you will find this very interesting. The Appalachian State University today is very typical of most state universities. And I'll just say this, what I mean, very typical in the student body, liberal. I think most people would agree that it's pretty liberal. And, you know, a lot of schools, you'll read articles and things about partying. And, you know, as you study history, a lot of things haven't changed. They've had issues with that subject all along. As I was reading this book in the 30s and in the 40s, and when the school started, they had disciplinary problems, and they had alcohol problems, and they had other problems, not as pronounced, I don't think. And boy, they really were disciplinarians then. They were known up until the 1930s and 40s of being a very strict school, to the point that the students began to protest about how strict they were at Appalachian. They wouldn't let if they were in the cafeteria, they wouldn't let the boys and the girls leave at the same time. They had exit bells. And so they kept them apart. They had a philosophy then about the men and the women being together. Never the twain shall meet. That's what they said. And they had people that enforced that. And, of course, they had separate living quarters. And one was on one side of what we call Kraut Creek. And the boys were on the other side. And they kept them separated. Well, anyway, the Appalachian today is just like any other college. And you've got a mixture. But the from the faculty, the staff, not all the faculty, but you just got a liberal slant. And so we'll just leave it at that. But the heritage, and this is what I want to get at, the heritage of Appalachian is Christian, conservative, moral, and academic. They placed a great, great, and I'd say they still do today, but they placed a great emphasis on the academic part of it, not activist oriented, but the academic part. And this would be typical of most colleges established in America from that same time period. Now, Appalachian State University grew out of the Watauga Academy. The Watauga Academy was started in 1899. Then it became the Appalachian Training School in 1903. In 1921, it became the Appalachian State Normal School. Now, that's something in our study about education that I have not covered. But the normal schools, once upon a time, there were several normal schools. The normal schools were established to train teachers. So they would take high school age young men and young ladies, and they would train them to be teachers. And the reason they were called normal schools is that they were taught to teach norms. And what we mean by that today, I think we would call that standards. You have math standards, science standards, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they called them the norms, and so they were normal schools. And I could see where there would not be a great deal of standardization across the board. Well, we talked about that and where that come from, the Prussian model and really the teachers' colleges. But just for example, In 1885 in Watauga County, there were 42 schoolhouses, and these were pretty much one-room schoolhouses that had one teacher. So 42 schoolhouses, one for black children. Now, I got that out of the book about mountain educators. Most of them, or many of them, were in bad condition. A few years later on, they tried to insure. They had 60 schoolhouses in the county, and only 40 some of them were worth insuring. And so when the insurance people won't sell you insurance on something, you know it's in pretty bad shape. And so a lot of them were in bad shape. They were in a state of disrepair. They had one teacher. Part of the problem was that the school year was so short. The average school session was 55 days. 55 days out of the year, it's hard to employ a full-time teacher. And so they had a hard time getting teachers in, and the salary was very, very low. And so you may have teachers all across the board. You may have some that are better, some that are not so good. But there were no norms. You know, there was no curriculum, nothing to go by. Almost all the communities in the county had a school within walking distance of most pupils. But when it was bad weather, a lot of them couldn't go to school. They had one room schoolhouses, and if you've lived in the county any time at all, live in the little communities around, there was a one room schoolhouse in Brushy Fork. It was pretty close to the Brushy Fork Baptist Church. The church that I pastor, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, was actually started in what was called the Bryan Schoolhouse. And that was over there on the Baird's Creek, right around in there, not too far from where the church is now. So all the different communities had little schools, and most children could get there by walking. But it was hard to find teachers for just that short period of time. And the quality of their education depended on that one teacher, how much that teacher knew, how good of a teacher that teacher was. So they established the normal schools to teach teachers the norms, is what they called them. Well, that was in 1903. In 1929, Appalachian became the Appalachian State Teachers College. And that is what it is most well known as, is a teacher's college, and it's still today known as a teacher's college. Well, it did not become Appalachian State University until 1967. And so, a little bit before I was born. So my whole life it's been Appalachian State University. The founders were Blanford Bernard Daugherty and Dauphin Disco Daugherty. And even at the campus today, you'll find buildings, you'll find statues, you'll find plaques and things that have their names upon them. A lot of times they just referred to these two brothers as B.B. and D.D. Daugherty. And these men were both, everything I've read about them, they were outstanding men. They were very hardworking. They were very dedicated. They were men that put a great stress upon your word, your character. They were visionary as far as there was nothing at that time in the mountains. And the people that lived in the mountains, it was rural. There was not a lot of opportunities down in the state. See, UNC, the University of North Carolina, had already been in existence for 100 years by that time. Well, the railroad didn't even come to Boone until 1918. And so if you think about the history of our rural communities, and a lot that are listening in, even over in Tennessee and Virginia, places like that, the rural communities, if you lived in 1899 or 1850 or 1825 or 1799, there just wasn't a whole lot of difference. There's no train. Everybody's still traveling, walking, riding a horse, riding in a wagon. The Daugherty brothers, they done a lot of their work on horseback. In fact, Mr. Daugherty's horse was called, the community called it Bob. And Bob was a famous horse around here once upon a time. And there was actually, when Bob died, and I think they said it was Disco's horse, but Bland is the one that rode it and rode around in the communities. But anyway, when the horse died, they announced it in chapel at Appalachian, and the student body was sad over Bob dying. And that was the founder's horse. And they buried Bob, and he had a tombstone. But nobody knows now, or that's what I read in the book, that where Bob is actually buried at. But these men were very dedicated. They were advocates for equal opportunities of education for mountain people, because it was easier if you lived other places in the state to get a proper education. But in the mountains, not so easy. They did not have the same opportunity as everybody else. But one of the things the Daugherty brothers, they fought for was that we were paying as much as more in taxes to support UNC, but our poor mountain people couldn't go there, and so we needed equal opportunity. If we're going to be taxed the same, we need to have the same opportunities. Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good advocacy, if you ask me. Well, Mr. B.B. Daugherty, he was the one that campaigned the most for state support of a teacher's college. He realized that the mountain people were so poor that they'd never have these opportunities on their own. But he went before the state over and over and over again, the state legislature, and appealed for some help. And what the first help they got was a matching. The state will give this much if the people will raise it, if they'll raise money and match the state's money. And so the state sort of went in to begin with halfers with us. You know, we'll give you half and you raise the other half. And that's how it got started. And so he went and he appealed for state support for a teacher's college. Now, at first, the churches were not for this. The Baptist churches in the county that were associated with the Three Forks Baptist Association, they were opposed here's what they were opposed to. They were not opposed to education. They were opposed to public funds for education. And here's what they said. They said that, and they wrote a letter about how they were not for this to begin with, but the use of public funds for higher education, which would not have the safeguards of religious instruction against skepticism and higher criticism. And so the churches felt like if you got money from the state, you would lose your religious freedom. And basically, as I have studied this out, and I was talking with Brother Kyle, I believe it was, who's going to be with us on next week. We were talking about the colleges and how they used to be Christian colleges, and now most of them are secular, and they don't have anything to do with their founding. And the downfall of the Christian colleges and the private colleges was the acceptance of public funds to become supported by the state. Once you do that, you become state-controlled, and you become secular, and you lose your religious affiliation. You lose your religious emphasis that you had once upon a time. And really, when we studied about all those colleges that were started and how today they really don't have anything to do with the churches that founded them, it was that acceptance of state money. So the churches were right in being concerned about that. But at first, the churches were opposed. Well, they eventually come around, and they got on board, and they wrote letters, and they got behind Mr. Daugherty and his desire to see a state college here in Boone. And Mr. Bland gave a speech, and I want to read just a little bit to you from that speech. This was a speech that he gave, and he talked about his ideal for a college. Well, the college had already been established for several years, but the year that he gave this was in 1918, and he talked about the original ideal for Appalachian College. And in 1918, two things were going on. One, times were very, very difficult at the school. Enrollment was way down because of World War I, and our involvement, America's involvement in World War I. And so especially the men, you had a very low student count. And also, a lot of people were staying away because of the flu epidemic. There was a flu epidemic at that time, and many people right here in Watauga County died during that time because of the flu. And I've heard older people talk about the flu epidemic. And so the flu epidemic was going on. So attendance at the college was very low. It began to pick up a little bit after the end of World War II, and a lot of people were pulled away trying to support the war effort, and it was just a low time. And so Mr. Bland gave a speech at that time, and he said this, and I'm going to read quite a bit of it. He said, "For our school, I have an ideal." He said, talking about Appalachian, "where friction is reduced to a minimum and cooperation and congeniality are planted and successfully cultivated, an institution where all kinds of sham and neglect of duty receive no support, but where students and teachers alike rejoice in the amount and excellency of their work done, an institution where caste is not known, but where each one, if he does his work well and protects his reputation as he should, may realize that he is the equal, not the superior, of his fellows, and morality and religion encouraged." And I'll say a little bit more about that as we go on, but morality and religion were definitely encouraged at the beginning. He said, "an institution dedicated to mountain homes, to the rebuilding of mountain schools, to every interest of our mountain people, an institution that the mountaineers gladly support in every way with unstinted measures, and to which they delight to make frequent visits, an institution that the mountain people rejoice to recognize as their own. We and we alone can make possible such a school." So he definitely wanted to have a school that the mountain people could be proud of and could call their own. And Mr. Daugherty, Mr. Bland, he went all throughout the county. He was very involved in going throughout the county, teaching, recruiting students, and assuring parents that if they sent their children to school, now you talk about in the early 1900s, this was a big deal, but if they would send their children to school, that they would be watched after. He felt like that the mountain people, they were religious, they were conservative, they were moral, and that they didn't want to send their children off just anywhere, but they wanted to make sure that they were watched after, cared for. And he spent a lot of time in the county reassuring parents that if they would send their children to Appalachian, that it would be a good environment for them to live in and to go to school in, and that's what they would major on. And so Mr. Daugherty, and it's interesting that even when he was up in his 70s and the students, they wanted to do away with the exit bells in the cafeteria and the few little things like that, it really distressed him, morally speaking. He felt like that he was there to represent the parents. I thought that was very interesting that that was the idea that he had. And if you look at the catalog for Appalachian, the 1909-1910 school year, it talks about the buildings, it talks about the faculty, it talks about, you know, just like you would pick up a catalog today for a college or a university, and it talks about the library and just a lot of the things that the students would want to know about in order to get them to come here. And I thought it was interesting, there is a section in the catalog about religious influences, and that's something I'm interested in. You know, we've been studying about that and education and what it was like. How did we get so liberal down through the years? But at the beginning, it was not like that. The catalog for 1909-1910 school year said this about religious influences. It said, "The morning exercises are opened by reading the scriptures and prayer. The young women have a prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings. The young men meet Sunday afternoons and hold religious exercises." They didn't even have church together. The women had prayer meeting on Wednesday night and the young men on Sunday afternoons. And that's what I said. They had this philosophy about the boys and the girls mixing together. And it was never the twain shall meet. That's what it was. Never the twain shall meet. They kept them separated. And then it went on and it said, the pastors of the town churches often open the school and give talks on religious subjects. Students are requested to attend Sunday school and preaching in different churches. And so the school was encouraged religion and morality. That was the founding. That's the heritage of the Appalachian State University. The Daugherty's, if you study, and many of you probably even know your own selves a little bit about them, but they were very active in their church life. I wanted to read just one little excerpt from the book that I have, and this is talking about, let me find it here, it's talking about Dolph Daugherty. And it said this, it says, his devotion to Christ and his love for the church were the most important aspects of Dolph's life. Professor Daugherty's loyalty to his religious faith and home church held prominence in his everyday life and work. Letters from Holly Spring College, where he held his first teaching position, reveal that Boone's First Baptist Church was central in his and Lily's commitments. Before it moved to its current location on King Street, the First Baptist Church met near the south end of Depot Street. Dolph Daugherty regularly attended with the family. He was head of the Sunday school and for many years and often held church meetings in his home. They were very, very active in what is now, it was the Boone Baptist Church, and now it's known as the First Baptist Church. But where the First Baptist Church is located today, the Daugherty's gave the land to build the church on. One newspaper article said Professor Daugherty was an exceedingly busy man, but he made a large place in his life for his religious activities. A Sunday school teacher of rare ability and power. A member of the executive board of the Three Forks Baptist Association. He gave much of his time and thought to the development of the churches of the county. Each Christmas, he mailed a check to the preachers of the county. Realizing that he might not live to the next Christmas, he mailed this usual check to the preachers 2 months ago. The last time I saw him in life was when he, with his wife and brother, signed a deed conveying to Boone Baptist Church, now called First Baptist Church of Boone, the valuable lot on which the new church building, is to be erected. And with a radiance, he spoke to the other two, smiled, and said, "I am glad to give this." And I just thought that was very interesting. You talk about the heritage and the history of Appalachian State University, and I would say most universities throughout America from that time period, you would find a very common heritage about the people that were burdened enough for their people, for their education, to do all the work involved. And so I've really, really studied this, really enjoyed this study on education. Next week we've got a special guest. I hope you've got something out of it as well. I hope you can say like David, yay, we have a goodly heritage. And so that's just a little bit about our local history. I hope you got a blessing out of it. Noah's going to come give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That is MTLEBANONBC.org.